Welcome back to the Doc, hosted by Camry and Shane.
Let's go.
Let's go. We got a lot to talk about on this one.
Oh boy, do we.
We're going to jump right in. So we just got back from
NBAA in Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. Isn't that what they say?
Viva Las Vegas, yeah. What'd you think? First time?
It was good. There was a lot. There was a lot of stuff to see, a lot of cool cutting edge technology, a lot of people selling interiors for jets.
That's true, yes. A lot of young pilots that were networking.
Yeah, and I was...
Go ahead, sorry.
I really thought that this was a networking situation. And I'm gonna spill some tea.
All right.
To you. I haven't told you this. I thought about bringing my resume, and then I thought about it, and I was like, that would be kind of shitty if I brought my resume with my employer next to me. But then I was like, why would I bring my resume? Like, I don't need a job. I have a great job. Like, there's no need for me to leave. But you still are in the mindset of, like, whatever. You not the place to
You should have brought it. The thick paper, resume, good print. Yeah, you should have brought your resume.
Resume paper. Yeah, but it was not the place to network, that's for sure. Unless you wanted to work for someone that does interiors for jets.
Yeah, yeah. Even there, you don't have any opportunities to talk to people on that. But it was awesome. It was larger than I've seen past years.
Larger than life.
Larger than life. Lot of static displays. At the Henderson Airport, when you could get there. Saturday, the wind was blowing so bad that it was blowing tents over, and they were not letting us bus over.
We boarded the bus, and we sat there in the bus for like 15 minutes, and they were like, all right, guys, false alarm, everybody get off the bus.
It wasn't even back of the bus. It was just get off of the bus.
Yeah. Like, okay.
But we made it over. We checked out a bunch of stuff over there. That was really neat. And we got to see, like you said, cutting-edge stuff. I think... You're going to have to tell me if I'm correct here. I think I changed Cambry's mind. It's hard to change what are you? A millennial, Gen X?
Gen Z.
Gen Z. It's hard to change a Gen Z's mind when it's made up.
But you might have changed
I think
my mind.
I did. So do you want to spill the beans or you want me to?
Yeah. So there was this thing there. Okay. It's actually, I remember what it's called. It's called Archer. Because I remember seeing that and I was like, Archer, like the airplane? But it's called Archer. And it's like this air taxi, 12 blades,
12 electric engines.
And it was so nice inside. And I remember watching a video in high school about how Uber was planning to, or Lyft or something. They were planning on expanding to air taxis and implementing air taxis for ride services. I was like, yeah, when pigs fly, pigs might fly because... I'm convinced they're going to expand into that, and then obviously that thing's made to be autonomous, so.
Yeah, it was there.
It was there.
So last year they had a smaller one, a little bit smaller one, I think, on display. That was a bigger one than what was there last year, I do believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a flying, it's not even a concept. It's
five
a,
seats.
Yeah, it's a flying, what do you call that? It's not a drone, it's not
like
an aircraft.
An air taxi. I don't even know what you'd call it.
Some sort of something. So, Cambry, I think, in one of these podcasts said, that'll never happen.
I was on that train, I think.
She was on the never going to happen train, and it happened. So, I think the technology's there. We saw another aircraft, the...
Otto.
So, Otto was another static display, but apparently they have a flying... prototype.
The one we saw, as you say, is paper mache.
Yeah, it wasn't a aircraft. I mean, it had the shape of an aircraft.
It looked like it was one, but it's kind of like a real life size. Like, if you didn't know better, you would think it was a real aircraft.
If you weren't a pilot.
You would know, but you were like, I didn't even know. And then you're like, yeah, the nose wheel was welded together. Or what did you say?
The landing gear was all just welded together. It was like a metal tube, and then they like put like a scissor link, something that looked like a scissor link on it. But it was pretty cool.
It was crazy. It doesn't even have windows. And then we were talking to the guy. What'd you ask him if they were planning on it being autonomous or something?
Yeah, I asked him if it was going to be autonomous, and he said the original design, there was no windows in the cockpit. So you can run with that however you want, but there was no windows in the cockpit. He said that his investors and
the FAA
thought that there should be some windows in the cockpit, so they put them in. But pretty much it was going to be fly-by cameras is what he's doing, and he's saying, what, by 2030 it's certified, and that's the next gen. We'll kind of see where
that
goes.
But the real flying one kind of looks weird. It doesn't look as pretty as the mock-up.
Yeah, the mock-up looks great. So, a couple takeaways real quick out of the gate. If you were a young pilot trying to get a job, NBAA is probably not the place to bring
your
resumes.
Don't invest your money to go to NBAA. You'd be better invest that money traveling across the country, dropping your resumes off to...
Yeah, and people. Or flying more. Not to die, and that's not knocking NBAA because I think it's phenomenal. It is a really, really great program.
For sure.
There was a lot of stuff that we got to do. We got to talk to a lot of vendors. It was great seeing and meeting everybody. But for the young pilot that probably isn't going to be in an FBO or business related, it's not the right labor.
It's not really made for you.
Yeah.
Not that it's not made for you. I think anybody can get anything out of that NBAA. It was super great and amazing, and I'm super glad we went. But if your primary goal on going to that event is networking, probably don't go. You'll probably still get something out of it. Probably not what you wanted to get out of it.
Yeah. We talked to some great insurance companies, a lot of fuel companies, a lot of equipment and service providers there. They had all kinds of different... what do you want to call it? Presentations. Three floors of presentations.
Oh, yeah. They were doing a lot of presentations. What do you call those?
Presentations,
like,
about
classes?
Everything. Classes, presentations. Yeah, talking about things. And then, you know, I think me and you kind of both joked about this, but and I'm trying to think what we called the row, but both of us were kind of blown away. We went down and we're talking to Women's Pilot Association for you.
Diversity Row, maybe?
Diversity Row, we're going to call it. I don't know if they really called it that, but we stopped in and it was talking, Cambry was talking to some people. Went really well, and I think somebody else...
We should give them a shout out.
Yeah.
Wait, let me look and make sure I... call them the right thing. So
let's call them the right
one
thing.
Second, guys. Please hold. So it was, Women in Corporate Aviation.
Women in Corporate Aviation. Great, great program. There to really support everybody. And then it was like a whole row of just, we had, I think it was Black Pilots Association, Latino Pilots Association, yeah. Gay Pilots Association.
Women in Aviation.
Women in Aviation. Kind of everything there. And, you know, we stopped and talked to the women in aviation and the girl, or the female in corporate. And kind of were walking away and it was like, well, wait a minute. They had some great programs for some young people. Like, let's be two, you being a white girl and me being a white old man. Let's go and talk to the Latinos. So we actually went and the Latinos for association was phenomenal. Actually, we spent 25 minutes there talking to them. Two young up and coming pilots, had cool stories, supporting that and just trying to get the awareness out. And then we just kind of jumped around.
It's Latino Professionals in Aerospace.
Sorry, Latinos Professionals in Aerospace.
They changed the name, that's right.
And then we went to the
Gay Pilots Association.
Gay Pilots and the Black Pilots Association.
And OBAP, it's Organization of Black Aviation Professionals, probably.
Black Aviation Professional, okay. So, guys, there are a lot of opportunities for young pilots that are needing to build ratings or needing more money from a lot of those associations. Get signed up with them. Support it.
It's a great support system. A lot of great mentors.
Whatever your diversity is, right? I mean, if you're male or female or black or white or
whatever
Latino or whatever. I mean, if there's stuff out there, and they said that, you know, a lot of them, the membership goes up and they get more money to give away. So I think that's pretty cool. So sign up with them. If you look up stuff, find those things, get signed up with them, and do those associations. They're great networking things.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I wish there would have been more. I'm sure there's like a billion organizations for every flavor.
Absolutely. Person. Yeah, absolutely. Except for Old White Men Association.
Well, aren't
somebody
you part
would
of,
be,
isn't there like a club?
Somebody would be pissed off about that. You couldn't.
No,
that.
I thought there was a club that you were a part of.
No clubs. There's nothing there. But so what else did you, you think anything else out there? The Garmin, we stopped at the Garmin stuff. They've got some neat stuff coming out there.
Yeah. Who else did we see? There was just so much. I'm like trying to recall what we all saw. That thing was huge. There's probably, it was like we walked like 5 miles through everything.
5 miles and every about quarter mile, I'm going to say this for everybody out there, and thank you. Cambry was noticed by one of her followers and gave a shout out to her. I mean, we had a group of young ladies in the DC3 when we were checking them out.
We need to talk about the DC3.
Yeah, we should talk about DC. A beautiful DC-3 there, owned by, was it Valor?
It was, okay, let me look now.
Let's look that up.
Let me look now,
there was
everybody.
A group of young ladies that recognized Cambry.
It was.
And said hi. That was awesome.
I think it was Varys Jet something?
Yeah, financing. They do financing. Because they had the Kinger 350 that was for sale, the black one that was pretty sexy.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, Cambry was noticed. You couldn't hardly go turn a corner.
Oh,
without
please.
Somebody recognizing
it's
her.
It's a little bit dramatic.
Cambry.
But, yeah, no, it was really cool to meet people and see the planes. What was your favorite plane you saw?
Probably the DC-3.
I personally, my favorite was the Cessna 182.
the caps did?
Civil Air Patrol, that was so cute. Hey, we stopped at the Civil Air Patrol booth. We should give them a shout-out.
Shout out to the young man that was a commander or whatever he was for the Civil
like,
Air Patrol in Henderson or Las Vegas. You know, we were walking by. Cambry shunned
I'm
him.
Such an asshole.
And they sucked me in. This young man that was, I mean.
He was tiny.
He wasn't a big man. He's going to be a perfect fighter pilot because he's a fighter pilot size young man. Stopped me. And he was the most energetic young man.
So well spoken.
Oh, my. It boggled my mind. I've been here for 2 years. I started out as whatever. And
he
moved
had
up
a
the
great
ranks.
Sales pitch. I was like, Where do I donate?
Yeah,
where do I sign up? Like, count me in.
Yeah, it was great. This and he was suited up. He was all of it. So he had done a flight or two. 15. He was 15,
finishing
wasn't he?
Finishing
yeah.
his ground school.
Yeah.
He said.
So yeah, Las Vegas Civil Air Patrol or Henderson. I don't know what it was.
I don't know what they were.
Whoever the Civil Air Patrol that was there at NBAA. If you this makes your way. I want to say that young man needs a full scholarship because
he needs a raise.
Yeah, he is going to do so much for the Civil Air Patrol. It's going to boggle your mind.
That kid was
great.
Awesome.
He was great.
So, yeah, no, super cool. There was Boeing Business Jet. Was literally everybody was there. Kodiak, we saw a cool Kodiak.
Yep. Saw a Husky.
Saw a Husky.
Shout out to all the Husky owners there.
So, 10 out of 10.
Who was the, what was the pink L-39?
Jet
lady?
Jet girl something.
Yeah, she, well, we saw the airplane, didn't see her.
But she has a really, really sexy L-39.
She does, yeah, it was a cool looking L-39. So yeah, that was kind of the static displays, back and forth. We were there three days? Yeah, got a lot going on. I actually had a great time. For us, I don't think either one of us didn't do any, of the talks.
Now, you know, hindsight 2020, we should have at least looked and seen if there was anything we wanted to go to. Next year we'll go.
Next year we will go and check that out for sure. But, so. You know, I went down there. There was four people that I needed to see. It took 2.5 days to see all four of those people. Because there's so many people there that it's hard to get in and talk with the people you want. You got to schedule, you got to set up meetings, you got to do all that type of stuff.
This whole thing.
I was able to go and do it. And yeah, it was great. So that is NBAA, so I highly recommend it. I think they do one in Florida, if I'm not mistaken.
They?
Yeah, they do one later, but later in the year.
I couldn't believe Florida. How many people were there.
Yeah, the attendance was way up. Yeah, all the way through. So, NBAA.
So.
Came, saw.
Conquered. So, I'm getting close to the microphone.
I mean, she's getting serious.
Guys, I'm getting serious. We rode.
Oh!
In a non-driver car. And this is also what contributed to my being converted to the dark side of believing that autonomous flight
is not the
is
dark
not
side, it's
far.
What's happening.
I don't support it, though. I want to be clear, I don't support driver.
We're in the Matrix.
Pilot.
We're in a program right now. You don't,
don't
think we are, but we
rabbit.
Are. We are in a program.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Right down the rabbit. So, okay.
You and your flat earth.
Telling you, it's real. I'll debate anybody right now.
Oh, anyways, that's a whole nother rabbit hole. But we rode in a driverless vehicle. And
shout
out to Zooks.
Zooks, owned by Amazon, we found out the hard way. Yeah.
So this has to do with me being turning out that I might agree with Shane about autonomous airplanes being closer than we realize. So we rode in a Zooks, which is a driverless car. Now, it's not like a regular car where there's no driver in the at the wheel. There's no wheel.
There's no driver's seat. No gas pedal.
There's
it
nothing.
It looks like a toaster oven with wheels.
It literally does. It looks like a cube box.
Yeah.
So there's four seats. They, like, face each other. And it's a box.
With doors.
With doors and four wheels.
And good screens, sound system.
And a great surround sound for music. So last time we went down to Vegas, when did we try to ride on that thing?
A month ago.
We saw them driving around and everyone was like poo-pooing it. Our Uber driver was like, did you hear those things? People just put traffic cones in front of them and they don't know what to do. It's super scary. He was like totally shitting on.
Yep.
On it. Probably because he doesn't want to lose his job. But then Shane was like, oh, let's look it up. It signs up. And we were approved as part of their trial run as customers. So we were in Vegas and we kept seeing them drive around. And I was like, we have to go ride in one of these. So it's free because we're part of the trial run. Because I don't know, why are they trial running it? Just to see maybe what, if people are even going
to do it.
To see if
it's going to kill people.
Yeah. Or even see if people will even do it. People are doing it. They're driving all around.
Okay. It was entertaining.
It was entertaining. Right now it's in like the rollout phase. So there's only 5 places you can go. And we happen to be staying at one of the 5 places. So, okay, cool. We got a trip from Luxor to Resorts World on this thing. I mapped it. I was like, how long is this going to take? 25 minutes. I was like, damn, that's a long drive. It only ended up being 11 minutes. So first of all, this car can get places efficiently and effectively.
It's the network. It's talking to the stoplights.
It's amazing.
It never stopped at a stoplight because it was just making
we
it
really
go green.
We really didn't stop at stops. I don't even remember if we stopped to stop. It was so fast. And I wasn't even scared.
No, it surprises you. We both joked. We probably took 17 Ubers around Vegas. Didn't get a car. That doesn't make any sense. So we probably did 17 Ubers. And the Zooks, the two rides in the Zooks was probably the two best rides we had the whole time in Vegas.
Because every time we were in an Uber, I was scared for my life.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is, but like these, they're just not great drivers, unfortunately. I know it's their job, but like, we had a lady who missed like 5 turns. I was like, are we ever going to make it? Like, I started getting a little scared. I was like, we might end up in Salt Lake City before we end up at the freaking, like, hotel.
It was close. Yeah, that was going to be close. But, yeah, so rode in it. It was awesome. I can't believe I'm saying this. I am all in.
I'm convinced. But it's a slippery slope, right? Because as soon as they start rolling those out, people start trusting them. Then what's next? Aviation.
Like,
our two modes of transportation
have been taken over.
Are done. No more.
Well, but I mean, think in there. You may not make it all the way to aviation because you may just be virtual reality plugged into the matrix and
don't even need
never
to
leave your house.
Anymore.
Just be a big blob on your couch.
Yeah.
Your like, parents' basement.
Oh my heck. I know. It's so scary. It's a slippery slope. So it's like this weird, like, internal battle of, wow, this is really badass and I really like this better than Ubering and driving myself, but then I don't want to like feed into it and support it either.
The machine's taking over.
So it's like, what's the, like, it's this weird even just, like, moral thing, too.
Moral?
Yeah, because, like, fuck, as soon as, like, we start feeding into it, it's a slippery slope. We start supporting it, and now everybody starts losing their jobs.
Well, that's happening.
Yeah, because people are supporting it and doing it. If everyone stopped it, it probably would stop.
Then I got to go back to driving with Jesus and the Uber.
Oh my gosh. We can't even talk about that guy.
I doubt he listens to our podcast, so we're all right, I think.
He was, yeah. Like, oh my gosh. Anyways, yeah, no, it's
so, Zooks, two thumbs up.
For me, I'm only going to give it one thumbs up and one thumbs down because I'm conflicted.
You're a hater.
I loved it, but I also hated it. Because it was so good.
No part of it did you hate? You hate the car.
I hate that it's good.
I
hate that it works. I hate that it's better.
Yeah.
I hate that the fact that a robot does it than a human. They're not even gonna need us anymore.
They don't.
As humans, the robots don't need us.
No.
We're there to support them.
And then, I mean, and right now the robot is probably in our computers and mics here listening because Cambry did the one thing you don't ever do. She tried to find out where, like, the hive was for the Zooks. Wanted to know. Like, she asked, like, 8 people, where do they go and where do they charge up?
They wouldn't tell.
No, it's top secret.
Couldn't find anything online either.
You think the computer's going to tell you where their home base is?
All they said, because the place we went from Luxor to Resorts World, and the place we went was, like, the Zooks help desk where there's actually humans running it and helping out and whatever.
Were they human?
And I, who knows anymore? And the lady I asked, I was like, so where do they go to like charge?
She ignored you.
And she didn't say anything, and you jumped in. Somewhere in the desert, I think is what you said.
Area 51.
Area 51. Okay, cool. She goes, off the strip. Okay, yeah, I didn't think it was off on the strip, but thanks. So it's just like so much mystery. Like, do they teleport or something? Like, what's going on?
I don't think they teleport.
Because it's so weird. Like, they're just like, they just drop you off and then
drive off.
It's like, where are you going?
It's none of your business.
Like, I wish I would have accidentally left my phone in the car and tracked it.
Oh, yeah. What if you put an Apple AirTag in it? Well, you have to have a, it doesn't have to be by a phone.
But there's like cameras in that thing. That's the other thing is, since we're on like the trial run, I think they are listening to everything we say and watching us.
Oh, they were listening,
us.
For sure. They so, were listening.
And then like we asked AI, oh my gosh, we were talking to AI in the driverless vehicle. So we asked AI, I was like, I am curious, like, I'm not of drinking age. We weren't drinking, but I was like,
she
can
was
you
on
have,
something.
Jeez. Can you have alcoholic beverages in the driverless car? Like,
this is illegal.
And AI told us that no, and that the Zooks will stop the vehicle if it sees alcohol in the car. So I'm like, how do they know?
So you have to put it in a brown paper bag and
like, how do they
trick
know?
The computer.
Like, does it call the cops on you or like what? But it's crazy.
I don't know if it's, yeah.
And they've only, and all the time they've been running that, they've only had one incident in April. And then they shut everything down and fixed the bug, and there's been no issues.
Reprogram.
Since.
And I don't even think that Zooks hit somebody. I think somebody hit Zooks.
Yeah. So it's like, wasn't even their fault.
Yeah.
Like, shit.
It is awesome.
And then it's like, what if you crash into a Zooks? Like, what do you do?
You got to exchange information.
Like, how do you do that? There's just so much unknown. I have so many questions.
The Zooks isn't going to crash into you. You're going to have to crash into it. So it's your fault. So you don't even need his information, his insurance information.
So, guys, we're cooked. Last gen of pilots.
Last gen, yeah. Speaking of that, can we segue a little bit? We're not at an hour. Oh, 30 minutes.
Time flies when you're having fun.
So this is going to be a two-parter. So NBA, guys, NBA AA does great. They have a spot for influencers. I wouldn't say we're an influencer, but we took some pictures, tagged them a little bit. Had a place to do a podcast. If we would have known that, we would have brought the back end here and done a podcast down there. But we didn't know.
Well, let's give the back end a shout out.
At the Rogers Boy.
That's B-O-I.
B-O-I. He's single, ready to mingle. Thank you for all you do, Logan. We couldn't do it without you. That goatee's really growing in good. For you ladies that are looking for a man with a nice goatee, reach out to him.
Or at least go look at his goatee on Instagram.
Yeah, we can rate it. Can we put a poll up? Can we take a picture of him tomorrow and put a poll up?
Yeah.
Tomorrow, actually, we're going to have to do it after this releases. Next Friday, we're going to release a poll of Logan's goatee.
Let's just post one on Instagram after
yeah,
this.
Yeah, that's
podcast.
What we have to do. Nobody will understand, but it'll be good. So we're going to segue into that, but...
he's flipping us off.
It's pretty good. I got my... my pilot magazine, my AOPA pilot magazine.
Hooray!
And as everybody knows that knows me, I'm not a big, big reader, but I do like pictures and perusing magazines.
He likes picture books.
I do like picture books. Like if I can color with crayons, it's even better. Now, I'm going to grab my pilot magazine. Shout out to AOPA. Thank you. I read them.
That's a sexy airplane on the front. What is that?
I think that's an RV 15.
Wait, can you show me?
RV 15. It's yeah, RV's
that's a good looking airplane.
Tail dragger thing, kit plane. I'd love to build one of these with the high school kids. So newest thing, November 25. Go up. There's all kinds of stuff in here in Mosaic. Okay.
For those of you listening that aren't pilots, simple crash course on what Mosaic is.
Mosaic was something the FAA and some associations, AOPA and some other things, have been working on for a long time. So the what Mosaic stands for is Modernization of Special Airworthiness Certificate. So it changed some certifications on some airplanes into different categories. It changed some medical stuff for getting a pilot's license, holding a pilot's license, certain licenses. Excuse me. And a bunch of other things, and I have not, it's like, I don't know, 1,200, 12,000
really
pages. It's ridiculous.
It.
I've seen some stuff on it and kind of going from there. Mosaic is great. Don't get me wrong. It really helped out I'm a big fan of a single engine piston aircraft called the Navion, built by North American originally, then Ryan Aircraft in 48, started in 46. Phenomenal aircraft, greatest airplane ever built in my mind for a single engine piston. It opens up the door for some maintenance stuff, which I think that needed to be overhauled for parts that are getting harder and harder for these airplanes to do, okay? So let me say, I am a big proponent of Mosaic. Some things that I think people are taking out of context, and I'm going to just call him out specifically, and I know we've got at least 9 watchers or listeners now because everybody keeps telling us, so thank you for those 9 listeners. We don't have to pay for your grandma's to watch anymore. I think we're at 9. We could not pay them.
Okay.
Not, so you could
I'll let them know they're being cut off.
The 25 cents an episode is gone. But no, seriously, I should say this. Thank you to all the followers out there that are listening. I think we're getting a few thousand listeners, it seems like, every week on all the different platforms. So
thank you.
That's
seriously
phenomenal. We saw a podcaster at NBAA that was there, has 40-some episodes out. And I think we're doing pretty good when we look at those numbers. So thanks, everybody. Hopefully you're enjoying this. But anyway, I'm going to call him out. So if anybody knows him, I would love to have him on the podcast, and I would love to
ask
have
him
a
why he
talk
believes
with
this.
Him. Yeah, I would love to do that. So Murray Holling, AOPA's Vice President of Regulatory Affairs.
Ooh.
I really want to look him up on the FAA registry and see what licenses he has.
Okay.
Actually, Cambry loves doing that. So we'll
I
look that up
this.
While we're kind of talking.
Go
so
ahead and talk.
Murray goes on in the, he's got a little article here that he wrote talking about Mosaic and how it's going to change and do some things. And I'm gonna quote him on a couple things there. And I am like, guys, I'm open for a great constructive talk about this. If anybody wants to come on and not debate, I won't debate you, but really wants to tell me a different side than how I see it on this, I would love to have him. But what I'm going to say is he goes on to say we're in a period of exciting modernization. And it's going to reshape how new pilots can begin and grow their flying careers. And he's representing AOPA, I guess, at this. At AOPA, we believe Mosaic represents not only regulatory update, but a meaningful expansion of opportunity for those desiring to take their first steps into aviation. I'm going to read the next paragraph, and then we'll go into what I think. For new pilots, the Sport Pilot Certificate has always been less expensive, less time-intensive, and without the need for an FAA medical certificate. Mosaic strengthens that path by allowing sport pilots to fly a broader range of aircraft, including those with up to 4 seats, higher speeds, and more complex systems. Okay, did we find him? Has he got all the stuff? He retired from the airlines?
The same guy. Now, it's hard to know who's who, but if it's the same guy, am I allowed to talk about what they have?
It's public.
Okay.
Well, did he fly for the airlines? Is he ATP rated? Private pilot? Private pilot. Okay. Instrument? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we won't get into that. And I'm sure he's very enthusiastic about aviation, and that is phenomenal, right? Me and Cambry both will agree that we want to grow aviation, right? Me and Cambry are huge, huge supporters of aviation in all aspects, from private pilot backcountry float plane stuff that is near and dear to our hearts, all the way up to the airlines that we just flew on to get here back and forth to NBAA. But, and I think me and you talked about this a little bit, and then we kind of cut it off and said, well, we can have this conversation here on the podcast.
Yeah.
But a couple things that I'm seeing with Mosaic that kind of really, one, I think we're not being honest with it, and two, we're not necessarily looking at the big picture. Those two things are going to be a lot of has to do with the sport pilot's license. One, we've got this romantic fantasy. That's what I'm going to call it. That the sport pilot license is going to be cheaper and or faster to get that license than a PPL.
Yeah.
I don't believe that. I am not a CFI. I own a flight school. Cambry is a CFI. You've got every CFI out there, including ground instructor stuff. You've taught a lot of students how to fly.
Yeah.
I will ask you this, and we can have this conversation here. If you were teaching them in an airplane that stalled at a slower speed or flew at a lower gross weight, would those people get their license at a lower time?
No.
What's your thought process there?
No, because Okay, what's the average time for someone to get their private pilot's license?
Can we have our back guy look that up? I think it's like 68 hours right now. I know it changes every month, but I think it's like 68 hours is the national average for a PPL. Don't hold me to that. We'll get that info.
So there's a huge difference, and we teach this in private pilot training, between legality and proficiency.
Yep.
So huge difference. One is safe and one is legal. Just because you're legal doesn't mean you're safe, and just because you're safe doesn't mean you're legal. You have to have both. So sport pilot, legally, there are less, I should say, now I'm pulling this up here. You don't need as much to
I think it's 25 hours, right?
So you need 20 hours of flight training, legally. For a private pilot's license, legally, you need 40 hours. So no one is learning how to fly an airplane safely and proficiently at 20 hours. It's just not the reality of it. If everybody could get it done in the legal amount of time, everybody would be getting their private pilot's license at 40 hours. Most people don't even solo at 20 hours.
Yeah, our program, my syllabus, you're going to solo about 25 hours.
So just because you can legally get your license at a lower time doesn't mean you're going to do that.
If we've got, let me jump in here real quick as I say that, because I'm going to get every guy that is, you know, 60 plus years old that learned how to fly in a J3 Cub on the farm at 2 hours in back in the day. I did it here and I was listen, that's great. Okay. Back in the day when you were in a field and you could always land into the wind and you were on grass and it didn't matter. Yeah. You could go in for your day long deal and solo in your day. And there used to be programs like that. Come in for $200. It will solo you in a J3 Cub. That's
freaking Jim's air compressor.
Got to love the air compressor. So that's not normal. So let's not say that that's normal anymore, okay? Yes, there was times that you could do that, okay? I've had pilots that probably at 5 or 6 hours, 7 hours, were capable of soloing, okay? As you just said, they were not proficient, okay? So our syllabus, you're going to solo at about 25 hours, okay? I know pilots that soloed at 5-10 hours, and I know pilots that soloed at 60 hours, and at 10,000 hours, you can't differentiate that pilot that soloed at 6 hours isn't necessarily a better pilot than the pilot that soloed at 100 hours.
It just doesn't really matter.
It does. Yeah, that doesn't transfer like that. It just doesn't happen.
Okay. Yeah. So looking up the national average, it's somewhere between 60 to 70 hours.
So, okay, 65 hours, guys. So you're going to tell me that because they're flying a lighter, slower, whatever airplane, okay, that they're going to be able to do it at the 25-hour requirement? It's not going to happen.
So I'll throw this. A Cessna 150 versus Cessna 172.
Yep.
Cessna 150 flies pretty similar speeds.
Yeah.
It's pretty light. It's pretty much...
Does a 150 qualify for light sport back under the old program?
I actually think I remember looking it up, and I do believe it did.
Okay.
So I trained at my old flight school where I was a flight instructor. I trained in a 152 and a 172 students. The 152 students didn't get their license any quicker than the 172 students.
So why are we telling people this?
So while there's less legal requirements to get your sport pilot's license, that doesn't mean you'll be proficient faster. Legality and proficiency don't really transfer.
I like that. That's a great statement there on that. So, you know, I don't want to keep anybody from that is capable of flying an airplane out of an airplane.
No,
let me preface
sure.
that. I am a huge, huge, huge proponent of if you can fly it, do it. Okay. What I saw, flight school owner, passionate about aviation, loves flying every type of aircraft everywhere, right? The people that typically went after a sport pilot's license, okay, or a light sport aircraft, were the ones that could not pass a medical. Okay? Let me say that again. Could not pass a medical. Okay? I don't know, and this is something I've got to look up now, because it used to state, pre-Mosaic, that if you were declined a regular first, second, or third class medical, or you had reason to believe that you could not pass one of those medicals, you were illegal to get a sport pilot's license. You couldn't do it. Now, maybe that's changed in Mosaic. I don't know if that's changed.
I'm going to look it up.
Okay. If it has, you know, it's a little bit scary to me. Now, I don't necessarily believe, and what typically what I saw as a flight school owner, it was oftentimes somebody that had been, and it was typically my age group or a little bit younger, somebody that had been prescribed a, what do they call those, the Ritalins and the that type of medication?
I don't know.
There's a name for it. But anyway, those types of medications, when they were younger or they were still on it, and that was kind of always the big gotcha with aviation. I don't believe that. I knew a lot of people that were prescribed that as a kid, and they were just normal, you know, kids that had all this energy, and they were stuck in a classroom for 6 or 7 hours a day, and that's not what you're supposed to do at that age. You're supposed to be running around and doing stuff and making that happen. And so what did they do to calm them down? Oh, let's just juice them up. Now, I'm not saying maybe that medicine helps a lot of people, and if you're on some of that medicine, I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying for the ones that had it prescribed at one point in time, and then it was going to be an uphill battle to get their first, second, or third class medical from that point, they would go and say, I want the sport pilot because I can do it with a doctor's note saying that I'm qualified.
Yeah, so I have the thing pulled up. So this is under the mosaic? This is from the FAA. To exercise sport pilot privileges using a current and valid U.S. driver's license at evidence of qualification, sport pilots must have not been denied the issuance of at least a third class medical, not have their most recent airman medical certificate revoked or suspended, and not have had an authorization withdrawn. Sport pilots may not use a current and valid U.S. driver's license in lieu of a valid airman medical certificate if they know or have reason to know of any medical condition that would make them unable to operate a light sport aircraft in a safe manner.
Thank you. So that last line right there rules out almost everybody that wants to go to a sport pilot. It rules them out. Read the fine print. Now, is the FAA going to uphold that? Is anybody going to be checking?
It's awful hard to...
You can't check it anymore, right? Because they're not doing a medical. I'm using my driver's license. I don't know. I don't necessarily know. Okay, so you got a guy that isn't 100% honest. Okay. I don't ever want to lose my pilot's license. I just went in, I'll throw it out here. Let me be honest with you. I went in, had my first class, did my EKG. Something weird came up on the EKG. Went to a new AME, and there was a weird thing on my EKG. I got my first class, but there was something that was just a little bit different. I'm going to a doctor to figure out what that looks like. And nobody ever talks about this. I'm doing it. I'm 50 years old. I'm going to go and figure out what the heck's going on because I don't want to lose my medical. An unscrupulous person could go on and know that there's something there and just not say it and get it. Well, then all of a sudden, maybe you have blackouts. Maybe you have, you know, whatever those things are. And now you're flying in the same airspace as me or you or you or students or
it's
anything
scary.
Else. So I want everybody to fly. I'm not trying to keep anybody out of the air that physically can do it. And I want you to fly forever. Like I want to fly till I'm 100 years old. Like, I on my 100th birthday, I'd like to go fly.
Yeah.
Now, I'll probably need a safety pilot if I live to be that long. I want to go fly. I do. Get, you know, crane my fat ass up into an airplane. Let's go. But I think Mosaic is giving some other avenues to people that maybe shouldn't, right? Rather than let's deal with, okay, what do we got to do? Maybe we need to revamp what medicines we can be on.
No, I think we do. I think that, I mean, the mental health thing is huge.
Yeah, the mental health thing and the conditions.
Yeah.
Right? You hear about people, well, I had a heart attack or I broke a leg or I had to have, here, I won't use anybody's names, but let me put it this way. I've got a friend that went in to have I'm going to screw this up and it's been like a decade. He went in to have some skin, I think it was like a skin cancer thing removed in the back of his neck in office, not in a hospital, not anything, into the office. They opened him up, cut this thing out, stitched him back up. He was there 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Away he went. No big deal. Healed up. No big deal. He went to get his new medical. Went in. Have you had any operations or any procedures? Like, yeah, I had this whatever removed. They flagged him. Okay. It took him almost a year to get his medical back. They pulled his medical, said, we need to get all of this other information. Now, this was an in-office visit, 30 minutes or less.
Yeah.
Pulled his license, or pulled his medical, and he had to go through that. Like, let's revamp that stuff.
Like, that's pretty ridiculous.
That's, I mean, it wasn't, it was, he was able to drive himself away. It wasn't even like they did a local on him. Like, it wasn't like they gave him something that he wasn't able to even drive himself home.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's less intense than getting your wisdom teeth out.
Right. Let's support our, whatever age, people that want to get their license. And there's nothing wrong with a sport pilot, right? At one point in time, now I'm going into the flight school owner, whatever. At one point in time, we could say that the light sport aircraft was a more cost-effective airplane to buy than a 172 or a Piper Cherokee or a Beechcraft something, right? Cessna 150. Guess what? Those things are 150 to 400 grand now. How much is a Technum? 300 grand?
Yeah. Something, you know, like that.
You can go buy a Cessna 150, which I think is crazy right now, for 50 grand. Yeah. We've got one in our shop just sold for 40.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think the statement that it's getting your license, saying you can get your license quicker and cheaper, is kind of not exactly.
Let's be
the
honest
reality.
With you. Heard it here first on Doc Talks Podcast with Cambry and Shane. Sport pilot or PPL. If you can get a PPL and pass a third class medical, and or get, once you get your third class, go to a basic med, keep flying. Just go get your PPL. You'll have all kinds of airplanes you can fly. I mean, there's all kinds of airplanes you can fly with your light sport license now, but it's not going to be any faster, and you're probably not going to save any money because those light sport aircraft are renting for the same rates that 172s are, Cessna 150s are, Piper products are, all of the different stuff.
Yeah, so I need to do more research and read into it and get on the forums and stuff, but I just don't really see the appeal.
Well, they're thinking they're going to save money. Every time that, so our Cub was a light sport, okay?
Okay.
It was listed as a light sport on the website. Everybody that called thought they were saving money by doing it in a Cub. Could you imagine doing your private pilot in a tailwheel on a paved runway?
No.
It's going to take you 10 hours more than a, 10 to 15 hours more than a 172.
Yeah.
Just because, listen, it's easier to fly a tricycle landing gear airplane. So that's, we would get the calls all the time. That's what it was. That's why they called. Right?
Pricing.
They thought they were going to save money, thought they were going to do it at 25 hours. So I would sit them down and say, listen, you may be the exception to the rule. You may be that 1 out of 1,000 pilots that really pick up on this stuff and really knock it out of the park. But you're probably not. You're probably like the rest of us, average pilots, average learners, right? You may excel and you may become the greatest, but you could look at anything out there. Michael Jordan was not the best basketball player when he started off when he was a kid, right? He just put more time in the gym than everybody else and became better because he was that dedicated.
Yeah.
Right? Jeff Gordon, NASCAR racer, same thing, wasn't the greatest. He just started as a kid in go-karts, and his dad had him at everything that he could race for his whole life and excelled because he got better. What gets you better is the amount of time that you put into it, mm-hmm. not getting your sport pilot's
not
license at
25
hours.
Not that there's a regulation that says you can get it at 20 hours. That doesn't make you any better.
Yeah, and you're probably not. And if there's a flight school out there that's saying, I'm signing these guys off for their private pilots and can show me that they're passing their check rides at 25 hours.
The sport pilots,
yeah. Like, okay, show me. Show me a DPE that'll say, yeah, I'm comfortable jumping in an airplane
letting this guy
with a guy
fly.
That's got like, 28 hours.
Hell, I'll say it. I didn't solo until I had 50 hours.
Yeah.
I didn't take my check ride until I had 100 hours.
And I would argue you are one of the 5 best pilots I've ever flown with.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, you're 20 years old, and that's a tough pill for me to swallow at 50. I will say that, you know. My kids have grown up in the airplanes. I mean, they fly well. Yeah. I'm excited to see where all 3 of my boys go when they have the experience that you have in the hours, right? But you're a very good pilot. You can jump in a lot of different types of airplanes. You're understanding the concepts of flight. You feel the airplane, and you're able to fly it.
So, and I could, there's no way in hell I would have gotten my sport pilot at 20 hours.
Yeah, it you just chuckled. You just sit there and look at it. So, no, for anybody out there, and like I said, I'm open for constructive. I would love to have a conversation for somebody that believes in the other side of the table, that is a pilot, preferably a pilot, that can tell me, hey, I'm seeing this repeatedly, and this is what we're going. So
maybe we're wrong.
Yeah, Murray, I would love to talk to you. I'd do a Zoom with you. I'd do whatever. I'd love to have you on the podcast and talk about that. I think, again, the FAA and the AOPA are phenomenal, phenomenal entities that had moved the goalpost for Mosaic excuse me, a long way. But that being said, I don't see how this is helping. There's a lot of other things that are helping. I don't see how that's helping. And I think we need to stop glorifying it, because it's going to give a lot of false hope to people. And there's going to be a lot of unscrupulous flight schools that are going to say, hell yeah, we're going to do this. And they're going to start taking their money and they're going to get in, and we're going to see people get to that 20, 25 hours and be like, why aren't I, what do you mean I'm only halfway?
Yeah.
I can't do, you know, my power off 180, or I can't do turns around a point, or, you know, all of that type of stuff. Like, you know, this is what it says. Everybody's saying we got to do that. We got to stop bullshitting the people out there. It bums me out. That's my high horse on that.
Is this?
Do, 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 do.
Sorry, I'm looking at the Sport Pilot PTS.
Okay.
They don't even have an ACS for it. Is that real?
Okay. Let me jump on this while she's looking that up. The other thing that's really going to drive this industry that nobody's wanting to talk about is, I can promise you, insurance is going to drive this more than the FAA or more than any flight school out there, okay? I'm getting calls already at my flight school of, hey, I want to rent your airplanes under the sport pilot's license. Right now, my insurance clearly states that they have to have a medical, first, second, third, or basic med to fly my airplanes. Are the insurance companies going to lax on that? Because now nobody's looking at the medical requirements of anybody. Nobody's seeing that. What are you looking at?
The PTS for sport pilot, seeing what the check ride is.
Much different?
Not incredibly, no. I mean, no.
How can it be? If you're going to fly a 172 or a Cessna 150, it's you know, you got to be able to do, what are the things that kill us? Right? Stall spins, you know. Why do we need to know what a power off 180 looks like?
Well, you don't have to do a power off 180.
Well, that's not on a private, but.
But like a short field landing takes a lot of work to hit your spot. Like, that comes with just practice.
Hours. I mean, I guess, what do? You back out the cross-country time, and you back out the foggle time.
No nighttime.
Yeah, no nighttime, no cross-country, and no instrument. So you're going to save a handful of hours there, right? That's basically what it is. I think the maneuvers are about the same. Because I think you have a distance that you can go with a sport pilot's license, right?
So you need 20 hours total time. 10 hours with an instructor and 5 hours solo. But I'm sorry, I would not feel comfortable signing someone. Like, okay, I don't care that the regs say you don't need to fly at night to get your sport pilot's license. Sometimes things go wrong and you end up flying at night.
What's the number one thing you don't do in a seaplane?
Fly at night.
I've had to land at night.
And you weren't planning on it. But was something happened.
I had winds, I got stuck, and had to do it.
And you have to do it.
Most nerve-wracking landing I've ever had.
I can't imagine. That's actually unbelievable. So, like, I would not feel comfortable signing someone off. Like, even for a sport pilot, I know they can't fly at night, but, like, sometimes shit happens.
Yeah.
Like, and I want to know that if something happened, you would be safe.
Yeah.
And you could fly at night and land at night and not break something or, heaven forbid, lose your life.
Do you know, is there a ring that you can fly? Can you fly, like, cross-country with a sport pilot's license? Or is it, like, you can fly up to 100 miles?
So here's all the stuff.
Sorry, guys. We're learning this and kind of going, you're getting real raw time conversation here between me and her that we haven't talked about. You know, I wanted to talk about it, and you're getting it here. Give it to me. What is it?
Okay. You can be PIC of a sport pilot eligible aircraft. Carry a single passenger and share expenses.
Now you can carry up to 4 passengers.
Okay. Well, this is EAA. This must be old then.
That's old. That's not Mosaic.
Oh, here it is. 61.315. That's what we like to hear. Okay. Here it is. Correction. 2025. Man, this is all so new. Not even like any of these regs are up to date on. Sorry, guys. We'll edit this out so it goes good. Oh, here we go. 2.0.
Come on.
AOPA, hello? Can you help me here?
Where's Grok when we need him? Her.
What is changing for sport pilots? Okay. 4 seats, max occupants. Oh, you still can only do pilot and a passenger, but you can fly with more seats.
4-seat aircraft, okay.
Max takeoff weight, 1430 for seaplanes, 1320 for land planes. Stall speed.
I thought the max weight went away, because I thought you could all of a sudden fly like a 172 or 182 with with a sport pilot's license. There's still a weight limit in there?
Oh, I see. Oh, it has the old rule and the new rule at the bottom. Okay, max seats, 4 seats. Max occupants, still only 2. Pilot and a passenger. No max takeoff weight.
But there's a stall speed calculated.
Max stall speed, airplanes 50 knot, calibrated, no flaps. Max airspeed, none. Engine, no restriction, except for rockets.
Good. Let's keep our sport pilots out of rockets, okay?
Landing gear, fixed or retractable for gliders. All other aircraft, fixed or retractable. Retractable requires an additional training and instructor endorsement, obviously. You can use up to 2 hours of aviation training in a sim now.
Okay.
Night operations. Okay, this is new. Allowed with additional training and instructor endorsement. Also requires basic med or third class medical.
Okay.
Medical requirement. Same, but adds basic med or third class for night.
So there's no restriction you can go cross country with a sport pilot?
You have to. There's no way you can.
No, I didn't know if there was. Like, no, you know, I mean, like maybe there was. Like, what can you do when you have a restricted commercial without an instrument? Like, you can go up to 50 miles or something. Yeah. I didn't know if it was something like that, but apparently not.
Okay. Okay, we have it, everybody. All right, for all of those of you on the edge of your seat wanting to know if you can fly cross country.
Answer's yes. Go for it. Are we Martha?
Can you fly cross country?
Oh, we're asking. Grok AI.
With a sport pilot's license. Okay, here we go, everybody. Fly cross country anywhere in the U.S.
Okay, there we go. So, yeah, there's not many restrictions. So, at the end of the day, guys, it's going to take you probably 65 hours... you could take 10 hours out, 55 hours to get your sport pilot's license. Let's be honest. That's probably what it's going to be.
Okay.
Right? If you want to say you're going to take night out and you're going to take the...
cross country, I guess.
You still got to... I guess you don't have to do demonstrate cross country. So you can save some time there, which cross country is kind of what it is. So that's fine there. So, but yes, guys, get your private pilot's license. If there's something weird on there, make sure... You know, nothing would be worse than to get your license revoked because you knew you had a medical condition, or you'd have hurt somebody because you have a medical condition that you shouldn't be flying and you ended up flying. That's my soapbox thing.
Absolutely. So I guess, Logan, what time are we?
1 hour.
I guess that concludes today's episode.
Is it? That's where we're going to end, right there?
I think we hit all the boxes.
Yeah, we did it. We did hit all the boxes, so... Yeah, I won't go into any of these other articles. I think we can go from there. There was a couple other episodes in this.
Sorry, my back hurts.
In this magazine, again, guys, I support AOPA. You guys should all be members of AOPA.
Get their magazine.
Go online, check it out. There is this month's got an unbelievable RV-15 in it. I think that is the coolest airplane out there going right now. You can build it at home. I'm sure you can buy fast build kits. I don't know anything about it, but I read a little bit on it. It's a super neat airplane. And yeah, guys, I don't want anybody to think that Cambry or I, are not 110% aviation proponents in from maintenance to general aviation, to jets, to airlines, to any of the above. Like, go and do it and get your license. We want to see and hear and talk to everybody's stories. I want to have you on here and tell me.
Yeah, if you want to be a guest, send us an email, doctalkspodcast@gmail.com.
doctalkspodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, so that's what we've got. We're trying to get a DPE to come on here and spend some time and get you guys some real dirt on the DPE stuff. I've got some other guests that that you guys probably already know, some social media people out there that we're working with to get them in here. So we will be doing that here shortly. But yeah, that's what we've got. This will drop next Friday. But I want to thank everybody for coming on here, listening to us, and going through our shenanigans.
You guys are awesome.
Shenanigans. We want you to... a couple things, and me and Cambry typically don't ask for much, but we will ask. We love that everybody's watching this. We love when we see shares. Anybody sharing this around, that's phenomenal.
Yeah, amazing.
Anybody that is willing to subscribe and to like, that means a lot to us as we go through this. I know we've got our... We've got our logo, so we'll start getting shirts done, our initial run of shirts there, and get those out for everybody that's interested in that. I'm sure Cambry's a big hat person, so we'll have hats.
Nice one.
Do you like what I did there?
I saw what you did there.
How much? We could probably sell hats for about
$250,000. We're almost breaking even on the hats I did.
We are almost breaking even. We're almost out of them, and we may actually be in.
But it's thinking like this. Black. It's free advertising when people wear it. So maybe no, it is. You're making money
on
it.
We get people wearing them all the time. So, of course, we've got our seaplane stuff that we do wear. We support London. You know, you could throw on like a Brooks sweatshirt or something. But
I support London.
Okay. They've got good airplanes.
I don't know.
We're going to clip that and make it into a t-shirt too. I support London.
Can that be a reel? Is that what they're called or a story?
Yeah, sure.
A short. I support London. But no, we do thank everybody. We do joke around that, you know, we've got 9 followers and I love when you guys reach out to us. I think Cambry had somebody the other day was like, hey, I'm your 8th follower, 7th follower. Like, you know, don't worry, I'm here. And I joke around to it. I've had a couple people reach out and do the same thing. But it does mean a lot to the both of us. We've got a much bigger following than we thought we would have at this stage of the game. And we want to thank everybody for that. So hopefully we're putting out entertaining content. We can't
if not,
say,
tell us and tell us why and we'll be more better.
Are you going to change?
Change for the better.
Are you?
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to do a couple of these back to back. Cambry is actually going on. She's been invited onto a cruise.
I'm so excited.
I wanted to go with her, but not going to work in my cards. But she's going to be doing some stuff on a, can we say it? Am I allowed to say it?
I don't know if we're allowed to say it.
I'm not allowed to say it. She's going to be on an aviation-related cruise coming up.
Yeah, we'll post about it. Just now realizing we probably need to pre-record an episode.
Couple.
So anyways, thanks, guys. We'll see you next week.
Later.
Bye.